Before I describe the process itself, it's extremely important that I make clear what its purpose is, what it's trying to serve. Because when we have the purpose in mind, the mechanics of the process can be very helpful in helping us live in harmony with how we choose to live. But if we don't have the purpose clear, it can become a sterile technique. So there needs to be an integration of these two dimensions, a clarity of how we choose to live. And then the mechanics of nonviolent communication will make more sense and then be used in a way that's with more integrity. So what is the purpose of nonviolent communication? It's to help us connect with ourselves and others in a way that makes compassionate giving natural. Now, compassionate giving for me is when we do something for ourselves or others where our sole intention is to enrich life. We're not doing it for a reward. We're not doing it to escape punishment. We're doing it out of what I think we human beings like more than anything in the world, to contribute to life, to enrich life. Nonviolent communication, then, is integration of different things that helps people to connect in this way. First, nonviolent communication is language, language of a sort that helps us to connect with ourselves and others. It's a language of life, a language based on human feelings and human needs. It's a language that helps us to communicate what would make life more wonderful for ourselves. But nonviolent communication is not only language. It also involves strategies for influencing one another. In addition to sharing the process with you, I'd like to share with you some of the ways that I have been making this available to people around the world and their reactions to it. A student was traveling with me as part of an internship from the university, and he went to several countries with me, and he saw the people I was working with, many of them in war-torn countries who were using the training in the service of peace. And about the seventh country that we visited, he looked at me and said, "You are a very rich man." And I feel very blessed to do the work that I'm doing with the people I'm doing and seeing how they make good use out of it. I feel I am a very rich man. I see a different world than you see on the news. I see a world of people who are committed to compassionate giving, who want to create structures that support this compassionate giving. So, in addition to sharing the process itself, I'll be glad to share with you some of the experiences I've had with people around the world who are helping us distribute this process. So now let me give you an overview of what the process itself looks like, this process we call nonviolent communication. As I have said, it is designed to help us to connect so that compassionate giving is natural. So what kind of communication helps us to connect in that way? We can summarize the process by saying it focuses on two questions. What's alive in us, and what would make life more wonderful? What's alive in us is, we say in English this way, "How are you?" French, "Comment allez-vous?" Spanish, "Cómo está usted?" Every culture I work in throughout the world, in their own way, when they get together, ask this question: what's alive in you? It's a critical question because I'm convinced that when we are connected on what's alive in each of us and get rid of the enemy images that we have been educated to think in terms of when somebody's doing something we don't like, when we can just see the humanness in each other at any given moment, What's alive in us? It's been my experience that we can resolve any conflict peacefully in a way that gets everyone's needs met. Now, what does this involve to be able to communicate what's alive in us? Well, it requires that we be able to tell people what they're doing that's enriching our lives. And we can bring to their attention when they're doing things that are not enriching our lives. And as we'll see subsequently, it's very important to be clear about this and not mix up our reference to what people are doing with any kind of evaluation that implies wrongness. So it requires observing without evaluating. Another important part of expressing what's alive in us is to speak from the heart, to speak what is going on inside of us in relationship to what is happening outside of us. And the best way I've found of doing this is to develop a literacy and consciousness of feelings and needs. Our needs are life in action. If we're disconnected from our needs, we're not really alive. If we spend all of our time only analyzing and judging mentally and not able to get connected to what is going on inside of us, it's going to be very hard to enjoy life to its fullest. So nonviolent communication focuses on what our needs are in any given moment and whether they're being met or not. Our feelings are connected to our needs. When our needs are being fulfilled, we feel pleasurable feelings. When our needs are not being fulfilled, we have painful feelings. So these three together, telling people what they're doing that's enriching our life or not, and then telling them what's alive in us in relationship to that in terms of our feelings and our needs, that's one of the basic components of the process. Having told people what's alive in us, if what they're doing is not contributing to our well-being, then we need to add what could make life more wonderful for us, and to present this to them as an opportunity, as a gift, not as a demand or a threat. So nonviolent communication shows us both how to express what's alive in us and what would make life more wonderful. And it shows us how to receive that information empathically from others, how to receive it even if the other person is not articulate in expressing it. So no matter how the other person is communicating, nonviolent communication shows us how to connect with that person's humanity at any given moment.